You know you've got a comeback in you. When you take the next step, you're going to make it count. For your career, for your family, for your life. You can earn a degree you're proud of with Purdue Global. Purdue Global is backed by Purdue University, one of the nation's most respected and innovative public universities. This is your chance. This is your opportunity. This is your comeback. Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
Right here, right now. Find your beautiful new floor at Right Rug Flooring. Choose from thousands of in-stock styles ready for next day installation and all backed by the right price guarantee. Visit rightrug.com. That's RITERUG.com today to schedule a free in-home estimate or to find a location near you. 24-month financing is available with approved credit. For 90 years, we've been right here, right now. Right Rug Flooring.
If a new house is on your wish list in the next 5 years, grow your savings faster and experience your dreams with an Ohio Homebuyer Plus account from Kemba Financial Credit Union. A savings account specifically designed to save for a new home where you can earn 7% APY, a $500 matching bonus, and a $1,500 mortgage closing cost credit. Learn more at Kemba.org. Offer expires March 31st, 2025. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. NMLS 292230. Equal housing lender. Federally insured by NCUA.
School of Humans. Okay, guys, this is American Filth, but we're actually going to be starting not in America today. We're going to go across the water over to another continent. We're going to Gay Paris, Paris, France. Let's go over to the Louvre. At the time, it's like 1790, so it's not a museum, but a palace. And in that palace, in one of the wings, there's a young woman playing the harpsichord. She is the niece of the man who lives in these apartments, or these apartments have been bequeathed to him because he works for the king. And they are expecting company. Meanwhile, his wife is in the foyer, you know, a great place to perhaps greet the guests who are about to arrive. But instead of doing that, she is actually having sex with a one-legged American. And he isn't just any one-legged American. No, 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 no. He is a man who wrote this little thing that you might know, might recognize. It goes like this. We, the people of the United States, in order to form a more perfect union, establish justice, ensure domestic tranquility, provide for the common defense, promote the general welfare, and secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, do ordain and establish this Constitution of the United States of America. Yes, indeed. This dude, fucking in the foyer, wrote the preamble to the Constitution of the United States of America. Because really, what is a more perfect union? What ensures more domestic tranquility than public sex? The Founding Fathers, you know them, right? Thomas Jefferson, George Washington, Alexander Hamilton, etc. But there is one Founding Father in particular who a lot of people don't know about. His name is Governor Morris. It's a French spelling. Some historians have said gouverneur, but I like governor the best. And a lot of historians have said this in a much more intelligent way, but they have suggested that the reason that a lot of us don't know about Governor Morris is because he had a filthy personal life. Like, I'm not saying he was our sluttiest founding father, because a lot of them were. I think he was just the founding father who was most in love with the idea of being in love. One of his, I guess, like affirmations that he lived by was to enjoy is to obey, which is basically the YOLO of the late 18th century. He was a public servant to America, but he was also there for a good time. He lived by his wiener, and actually he died by it too. This is the story of Governor Morris here on American Filth. Here's the theme song. This is American Filth, and I'm your host, Gabby Watts. Every week, I bring you a different filthy story from American history. Today's episode, Living and Dying by the Wiener. Oh, well, why don't we just start at the beginning? Why not? Governor was born in 1752 at a place called Morrisania, his family's estate in New Amsterdam, which would become New York City. But then, you know, it was before it was the Big Apple. At the time, they called it the Crab Apple. His dad was very rich, a landowner and a judge. And the family itself, it was just big aristocratic vibes. His dad died when he was young, but not before he told Governor and his older half-brothers that Governor was his favorite and smartest son. Dads always know the right thing to do, like pit your children against each other. Governor's mom was of Huguenot descent. She and Governor would have plenty of differences along the way. For example, during the War of Independence, she was a loyalist. She actually let the British use Morrisania as a military base. But before all of that, one unfortunate thing that happened to Governor when he was a kid, just when he was 14, it was pretty clear that he was a bit of a clumsy boy, and he dropped a kettle of boiling water on his right arm. Someone later described it that it looked like all the flesh had been taken off. But he thrived in spite of his injury. He was mad educated. And before ye old Declaration of Independence, Governor, he was working as a lawyer. He was elected to the New York Provincial Congress in 1775, starts advocating for independence from Britain. When war breaks out, he gets involved. He's appointed to the Continental Congress in 1778, was in charge of military reforms, and he became the youngest signer of the Articles of Confederation. And yeah, he had a lot of opinions on various founding fathers. He's a huge simp for George Washington. He loves George Washington. He thinks James Madison is an idiot, and he becomes pals with Alexander Hamilton. Actually, when Alexander Hamilton's on his deathbed, Governor Morris is there too. Not dead, but just there to comfort his friend who's dying. But already as a young man, Governor Morris is developing a bit of a skanky reputation. Because he, at the time, he's strapping, he's charming, he's witty, and most importantly, he's over 6 feet tall.
Oh, yeah!
And historians specifically note that Governor rarely paid for sex. Oh, no, he didn't need to. He could just get it. As Governor wrote, "I like only the yielding kiss, and that from lips I love." And lucky for him, he seemed to love a lot of different lips. As his pal John Jay said about him, Governor is daily employed in making oblations to Venus. And not only was he making oblations to Venus, he was specifically making some of these oblations with other people's wives. And this gets him into trouble. So let's meet up with Governor Morris in May 1780. He's moved to Philadelphia. That's good for his business as a lawyer and as a merchant, but it's also good for his personal life because Philadelphians at the time had a pretty liberal view of sexuality. In general, the revolutionary period was pretty debaucherous. People were drinking a shit ton, like 5 drinks a day on average. There were lots of, you know, body houses, whore houses. People were banging. And not just to have kids, like for fun, men and women, in and out of marriage, and sometimes in someone else's marriage. So the governor's there in the middle of all that, and he's about to lose a leg because of it. The story goes like this. It's a nice-ass day in May 1780. Governor is not at work. He's not at home. No, he's at the apartments of some other dude, banging that dude's wife. But in the middle of their oblations to Venus, the husband comes home early and catches them in the act.
What the hell? That's my wife, dude.
Oh, no. Fearing for his life, his junk, and just general bodily harm, Governor gets the hell out of there. And he does it the quickest way possible, by jumping from the balcony. But when he landed, he probably heard a series of cracks, because with that jump, he had just totally fucked up his ankle. He gets rushed to the doctor, and the doctor's like, dang, this is so bad, we're gonna have to take off the entire bottom half of your leg. That's obviously a very stressful situation, especially because at the time, a third of people who got amputations die. But Governor was like, do what you gotta do, and he got his leg sawed off. Wow, isn't that a topsy-turvy story? Unfortunately, we do not know if it is completely accurate. Yeah, he lost his leg, but was it because he was fleeing from a jealous husband? Maybe not. That was just a rumor, but it's a really good one, so I wanted to say it. Other people say it was a mere phaeton folly, aka an alliterative way to say carriage accident. One of Governor's associates described the accident like this. He was riding out in a phaeton, and the horses, taking a fright, ran away in the street, struck the carriage against a post, broke it all to pieces, and in the shock, fractured Mr. Morris's ankle. Wow, much less exciting. But Governor did lose a leg. And the real doozy of the situation was that when the amputation happened, Governor's regular doctor was out of town. And then when his doctor was back in town, he was like, hey, actually, that other doctor made a really bad call. You probably didn't need to amputate your leg. Well, shit, I hate when you lose your leg for no reason. But Governor, he took it like a champ. One of his friends was trying to make him feel better about it. And Governor was like, my good sir, you argue the matter so handsomely and point out so clearly the advantages of being without legs that I am almost tempted to part with the other. Ha 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 ha, isn't he funny? Governor's other friends also ragged on him about it. John Jay threw some serious shade when he said that it might have been better if Governor had lost something else. For the rest of his life, Governor wore a simple wooden leg made from oak with a wooden knob at the end of it. Another addition to his scarred arm from his childhood injury. But again, it didn't really slow him down. He still went out dancing, boating, running around the town. And he even continued his pursuit of married women. Whoops. And that started right after the amputation. His recovery process was under the supervision of an extremely hot MILF with great taste in French fashion. Her name was Elizabeth Plater, the wife of George Plater, who would be the governor of Maryland. Governor was completely besotted by Elizabeth. He sweet-talked her, and she was like, okay, I see what you're doing, I'll give you some attention, whatever. After his recovery, he wrote her a letter saying, the wish is in your own power, but I will say no more on the subject lest I should go too far, as I have once or twice done. Only be assured that nothing would give me so much pleasure. Once or twice? Is he flirting or is he referencing something else they did together? But every smart MILF knows that there's a time to stop fooling around with these foolish young men. So she was like, hey, sorry, you need to move on. Governor was quite sad about it. But blah, 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 you know, the revolution is still going on. Lots of people are dying. And then the British eventually signed the peace articles in November 1782, blah, 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 blah. The Articles of Confederation aren't working, blah, 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 blah. Delegates convene in Philadelphia in May 1787 for the Constitutional Convention, la, 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 la. Governor Morris was one of the delegates from Pennsylvania, and he was ready to talk. Over the course of the convention, he spoke 173 times, which was loads more than anyone else. And Governor, he had interesting beliefs. You know, he was very anti-slavery, but he also thought that poor people shouldn't vote. So, confusing. And then he drafted up the preamble to the Constitution and wrote those famous lines, we the people. And while that's all well and good, let's get back to the filth. Because Governor's life starts getting a little bit filthier, a little juicier, once he goes to Gay Perry.
Right here, right now. Find your beautiful new floor at Right Rug Flooring. Choose from thousands of in-stock styles, ready for next day installation, and all backed by the right price guarantee. Visit rightrug.com. That's RITERUG.com today to schedule a free in-home estimate or to find a location near you. 24-month financing is available with approved credit. For 90 years, we've been right here, right now. Right Rug Flooring.
This is it. Your moment. This is your time to make your comeback with Purdue Global. When you come back with a Purdue Global degree, you create opportunity for yourself, your family, and your future. It's a degree you can be proud of, a degree that employers will trust and respect. Purdue Global offers working adults like you over 175 flexible degree programs to meet your specific career goals. These include associate, bachelor's, master's, and doctoral degrees and certificates. Purdue Global degree programs range from nursing to business to communication and more. Whatever your interest, we have the degree that will move you forward. You have the knowledge. You have the experience. Now it's time to get credit for the work you've done and earn the recognition you deserve with Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. You know you're worth it. We do too. So don't wait another second to get the degree that will take your career to the next level. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
Whether you're a savvy spender maximizing your savings with cashback rewards, a thrifty rate watcher seeking the lowest interest, or a travel enthusiast looking for extraordinary perks, Kemba Financial Credit Union has a Visa to complement your lifestyle and unique needs. Apply today at Kemba.org to unlock a limited-time 2% cashback on purchases and pay 0% interest on balance transfers for an entire year with a new Visa from Kemba. You deserve a card that works for you. Restrictions apply. Offer ends June 30th, 2024.
Governor Morris moved to France in 1789, originally as a businessman, and then he eventually became the American minister to France in 1792. So while he's in France, it's in the throes of revolution and its aftermath.
Vive la révolution!
But again, despite a revolution happening all around him, Governor finds plenty of time for leisure. When he arrived in France, he developed a terrific reputation with the ladies. He was invited to their salons, where women would talk wittily about books and romance and go tee-hee-hee-hee and ha-ha-ha-ha, aren't we clever? One French woman of the salon culture said, "His imagination inclines to pleasantry. It is impossible not to be delighted." Another woman said, "Governor Morris kept us in continual smile." And let's just say those weren't the only lips he kept smiling. When he's in France, Governor keeps a vivid diary of everything that's happening. And the diary is filled with descriptions of the war, of revolution, of the politics, but it is also filled with innuendos about sex. Here are some of the things he would call sex. The act, the operation, communicate the joy, the usual amusement, love's disport, hymeneal rites, joining in fervent admiration to the Cyprian queen, celebrating. And one thing I like about him is that he says mutual pleasure, and we embrace to mutual satisfaction, which through great historical analysis that I'm making right now, I'm pretty sure that means that he would make the ladies come. What a good sport.
Oh, yeah.
And in France, he not only banged, but it also appears that he liked to bang in public. Like one time he wrote, "Immediately I take Madame on my lap, and at the imminent risk of discovery by two doors and one window, perform the act." Now, Governor had many sexcapades, more than we can know, because there aren't records about all of them, obviously. But the ones he records in his diary, a lot of them are with one special lady that he met in France. Her name was Adelaide Filieu, Comtesse de Flahaut. Most people just called her Adele. She was a very chic lady, would host très chic salons. Governor and Adele met in 1789. At the time, she was 28 and he was 37. And when they met, Morris wrote about her that she was a most pleasing woman. Unfortunately for him, she was married to the 63-year-old keeper of the king's garden. But that dude wasn't really an issue. The real issue was Adele's other lover, the Bishop Charles-Maurice de Talleyrand-Périgueux. Most people just called him Talleyrand. Governor didn't like him. He said he was sly, cool, cunning, and ambitious. He was smart, but he also gambled and was a little bit lazy. And he also had a disability. He had a childhood injury that had crumpled his right foot. So he had to wear this round shoe with a metal rod up it. And it was rumored that the bishop was actually the father of Adele's son. And yeah, so Governor really did not like him. He wrote, "I know not why conclusions so disadvantageous to him are formed in my mind, but so it is." Basically, IDK, why I don't like him, but I don't. But despite the bishop, despite the husband, Adele and Governor banged for the first time on July 27, 1789. And they banged everywhere. They banged at Adele's former convent, in a carriage, in her apartments, while her niece was reading in the window seat. She was the lady he was banging in the foyer when all the guests were about to arrive. And as their relationship developed, it became clear that Governor was more into Adele than Adele was into him. She had told him that she had stopped seeing the bishop, but Governor would still try to play hard to get, because as he wrote, anxiety may keep her passion alive. Playing some fuckboy games right here. But you know, to be fair, Adele might have just seen him as a security blanket. He was a rich, powerful American in unstable France, and if she needed to flee at some point, he probably could help pay her way out of France to safety. So yeah, his relationship, it's a little toxic. But he also had plenty of ways to distract himself with his business affairs and with the politics of France at the time. And even though Governor was a founding father of America, the land of independence, he was a big old simp for the French nobility. He thought that the masses wouldn't know how to govern France. He thought that the French were very disorderly and said it would be impossible for such a mob to govern the country. And he thought that the French intellectuals were out of touch with reality. He called the people supremely depraved and devilish and wicked. You know, unlike the Americans drinking 5 shots a day and going to the brothels. Those American degenerates were different. In 1790, Governor had to go on a trip to London. At first, he postponed it because he thought Adele might be pregnant. And he was like, mwahaha. That means she might like me more, but alas, that was not the case. She was not pregnant. So away he went to do his business, to do his political affairs, la 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 la. And when he got back 8 months later to France, he went to Adele's apartments. And there he found yet another man, a dude named Lord Henry Wycombe, who was also very rich. And Adele was like, Governor, I think I just want to be friends. And Governor was devastated. He was like, my bosom is torn with anxiety, and I find in my left arm as well as in my left breast a physical sense of grief. He also assumed at that point that she was also still seeing the nasty bishop. But you know, a lover's heart is fickle. And when Governor was in France, he discovered that one of his associates in London had stolen £15,000 from him. And he had to return to London to sort it out. And Adele felt so bad for him. She was like, I'll give you all my money. I'm so sorry this happened to you. And then when he got back from London again, they banged. Even though they got interrupted by someone who came in, quote, so abruptly as to derange our closing moment. Talk about edging. But after that point, Governor decided to be more emotionally distant with her and decided to see some other people to assuage his pain. In the words of SZA, I fuck him because I miss you. Governor became the American minister to France in 1792, which, you know, a lot of Americans oppose because he was a nobility simp. Thomas Jefferson called him a high-flying monarchy man, which it is true that Governor spent the first few months of his position trying to get Louis XVI out of France. And, you know, Governor's opinions of the masses really didn't get any better during the Reign of Terror, which, you know, basically started in 1793, but there was already fuck shit happening. In his perspective, the French masses were going a little crazy. They were digging up the bodies of old monarchs, executing rich people, marching around Paris with heads on spikes. Governor was even asked by a French quarry owner one time to see if the French legislator could get him some money because his quarry had become too filled with people's heads. It's at this point where Governor's slutty life kind of takes a turn and instead turns to great heartache. He was probably feeling pretty low, not only with the terror, but because Adele had been able to obtain a passport for her and her son to flee France to London. The bishop was also able to flee, but her husband, well, he was one of the many people to get executed. And, you know, once the terror was raging, you know, Louis XVI, he was executed in January 1793. Governor was having a harder and harder time getting Americans and other friends out of France. Also, the Americans back home, they started seeing him as a failure because he was not able to rescue Lafayette, who had been exiled from France and was in an Austrian prison because, oh yeah, France is also at war with Austria at this point. Like, truly, the French Revolution, a clusterfuck. Just do one thing at once. Also, Thomas Paine was imprisoned, and Governor couldn't get him out either. So in August 1794, a new minister to France is appointed, and Governor skedaddles out of there. But not before taking some of the king's furniture with him. In particular, he took this one chair that Louis XVI would sit in whenever he would visit Marie Antoinette in her apartments. And then he also took several bottles of Marie Antoinette's wine. So yeah, Governor's getting out of France. He's not feeling too good. He's seen a lot of heads on spikes. That's got to make you feel pretty bad. But before going home, he travels around Europe for a couple more years for his business affairs. And one time when he's in Germany, he wrote, "Another year is added to the many which have been lost in the abyss of eternal duration." Emo as hell. He saw Adele again in 1795, after 2.5 years of not seeing her. Adele had been girl bossing as a romance novelist in London, but it's likely that Governor had also been her sugar daddy during this time. Anyway, she moved to Hamburg, where Governor was, and lived in a house that he leased for her. And then he had to go back to London for some business stuff. And while he was there, he heard that she had become engaged to a Portuguese ambassador and was like, "The fuck?" So he went back to Hamburg and it was like, "What the hell are you doing? I pay for your whole lifestyle." Well, we actually have no idea what they talked about, but I'd be a little pissed. And at that point, she didn't actually marry a Portuguese ambassador. But also, she and Governor weren't really together. And she didn't really seem to want to be with him. What she really wanted was she wanted to move back to France. So a couple years later, in 1797, she moved back. And Governor never saw her again.
Right here, right now. Find your beautiful new floor at Right Rug Flooring. Choose from thousands of in-stock styles, ready for next day installation, and all backed by the right price guarantee. Visit rightrug.com. That's RITERUG.com today to schedule a free in-home estimate or to find a location near you. 24-month financing is available with approved credit. For 90 years, we've been right here, right now. Right Rug Flooring.
This is it. Your moment. This is your time to make your comeback with Purdue Global. When you come back with a Purdue Global degree, you create opportunity for yourself, your family, and your future. It's a degree you can be proud of, a degree that employers will trust and respect. Purdue Global offers working adults like you over 175 flexible degree programs to meet your specific career goals. These include associate, bachelor's, master's, and doctoral degrees and certificates. Purdue Global degree programs range from nursing to business to communication and more. Whatever your interest, we have the degree that will move you forward. You have the knowledge. You have the experience. Now it's time to get credit for the work you've done and earn the recognition you deserve with Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. You know you're worth it. We do too. So don't wait another second to get the degree that will take your career to the next level. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
Whether you're a savvy spender maximizing your savings with cashback rewards, a thrifty rate watcher seeking the lowest interest, or a travel enthusiast looking for extraordinary perks, Kemba Financial Credit Union has a Visa to complement your lifestyle and unique needs. Apply today at Kemba.org to unlock a limited-time 2% cash back on purchases. And pay 0% interest on balance transfers for an entire year with a new Visa from Kemba. You deserve a card that works for you. Restrictions apply. Offer ends June 30th, 2024.
So yeah, Governor, it's getting kind of sad for him. He's feeling a little burnt out, I imagine. In 1798, he comes back to the United States, and he remains a bachelor for 10 more years. He spent some time rebuilding his house, Morrisania. He becomes a senator, but then he didn't get reelected. But, you know, he still hadn't lost his charm. He had some other affairs, one with a poet who was classic, married to another man. But something else was getting him down too. And I don't mean emotionally, I mean penisally. Since 1794, he had been experiencing a weird pain in his wiener. Like, basically what was happening, his wiener just had a disposition to get clogged. Like, his urethra would get blocked and he couldn't urinate. Maybe just like a major UTI, or basically what I'll call clogged wiener syndrome. And back in his day, like, they did have catheters. Benjamin Franklin had even innovated a new type of catheter for his brother. But Governor Morris developed his own methods for unclogging his peen, and I wouldn't say they were great. For example, one of Governor's friends wrote that one time Governor's wiener had gotten clogged, and that he had used a flexible piece of hickory to unclog it. And the thing is, this DIY approach to healthcare, it would lead to his demise. So let's fast forward back to 1809. He's 57. And on Christmas Day, much to the surprise of his family, he marries his 34-year-old housekeeper, Nancy, just right there at Christmas supper. The thing about Nancy is she was actually a gentle lady from the Virginia aristocracy, came from a wealthy family called the Randolphs. But this surprise wedding is pretty spicy. And it's also spicy because before Nancy had married Governor, she was accused of having a baby with another man who happened to be her sister's husband. And then the baby mysteriously died. And then the sister's husband mysteriously died. No! But Nancy and Governor, they seem to have a good life together. They have a child named Governor Jr. You know, he's helping build plans for New York City, the building of the Erie Canal. And then confusingly, during the War of 1812, Governor is like, I think the Constitution is garbage. We should tear it up and break up the nation. But this whole time, Governor's wiener is giving him lots of pain. And he's also inherited some zesty gout. It's 1816. He's 64. And one fatal day, he gets another blockage. And he decided to yet again unclog his wiener DIY style. Granted, he had tried a variety of homeopathic methods to get his wee-wee unblocked, none of which had helped him. So this time, instead of hickory, he decides to use a piece of whalebone, and some people think he got the whalebone from his wife Nancy's corset. And again, he took his DIY catheter, like he had done before, to unclog his peen. But unfortunately this time, it appears to have only made the problem worse and gave him an infection. And Governor knew this wasn't good. In his diary, he wrote he was descending with tottering steps to the bottom of life's hill. And indeed, he died on November 6th, 1816, at the age of 64 from the infection. Some people think that his blockages could have come from the fact that he might have had prostate cancer, but we'll never know for sure. But I like to think the governor had banged so much in his life that his penis just gave out. So to all the slutty fellas out there, just watch out. Learn a lesson from Governor. Also, if you want to get with women, maybe lose a leg. This is American Filth. American Filth is a production of School of Humans and iHeart Podcast. It's hosted by me, Gabby Watts. I wrote this episode. I sound designed it. That's why it sounds so amazing. Thank you so much. The theme song was by me and Jesse Neiswanger. The executive producers are Virginia Prescott, Elsie Crowley, and Brandon Barr. You can follow along with the show at American Filth Pod on Instagram. Please follow, like, subscribe, leave a review about the pod. I would really appreciate it, even if it's a terrible review. But if it's a terrible review, just try to make it really funny, okay? So guys, catch you next time. Bye!
School of Humans.
Right here, right now. Find your beautiful new floor at Right Rug Flooring. Choose from thousands of in-stock styles ready for next day installation and all backed by the right price guarantee. Visit rightrug.com. That's RITERUG.com today to schedule a free in-home estimate or to find a location near you. 24-month financing is available with approved credit. For 90 years, we've been right here, right now. Right Rug Flooring.
Whether you're a savvy spender maximizing your savings with cashback rewards, a thrifty rate watcher seeking the lowest interest, or a travel enthusiast looking for extraordinary perks, Kemba Financial Credit Union has a Visa to complement your lifestyle and unique needs. Apply today at Kemba.org to unlock a limited-time 2% cash back on purchases. And pay 0% interest on balance transfers for an entire year with a new Visa from Kemba. You deserve a card that works for you. Restrictions apply. Offer ends June 30th, 2024.
Do you love fashion? Do you love getting compliments on how well you're dressed? Are you always seeking the latest trends? Then we're talking to you. BostonProper.com is your fashion destination and the only place to go for all those nods, head turns, and new styles. No matter the day, season, or occasion, Boston Proper has what you're looking for. Sophisticated, confident clothing designed to flatter and get noticed. So visit BostonProper.com now and start creating your perfect wardrobe. Boston Proper. Wear it like no one else.